Well, it's been said, but happy Mother's Day, everybody, and to mothers. And I haven't yet called my mother. And it's late afternoon there by now already, so I'll call her later before she goes to bed. We're so blessed to have mothers. We are so blessed with mothers, and some of us have mothers who truly cared for us, nurtured us, and stood up for us when nobody else would stand up for us. Mothers believed in us. Mothers stood up for us. And I can remember an account, and I got my mother's permission to share the story. I was in seventh grade, and I had a difficult teacher. I could say a challenging teacher. There's other words I could use, but she was rather difficult. And for some reason, she didn't like me. And, there's many reasons why you wouldn't like me, but she didn't like me for a particular reason, and she was just mean, you know, and she would yell at me, she would pick on me, she would embarrass me in the class, and occasionally she'd give me a backhand, and that happens when I was in school, but the one day I would come home every day, and I would be mad. I would be angry. I'd throw my bags, my book bags down, and I'd yell at everybody. And finally, my mother just had enough of this. She couldn't take it anymore. So she called this teacher, and she called her and yelled at her over the phone and said, "Leave my son alone. Don't even speak to him. Just ignore him. Don't even look at him. You teach the class, but don't speak to my son. Just ignore him. I'm tired of this." And, possibly wasn't the best way of handling the situation, but my mother was standing up for me. She'd had enough. Someone was hurting her son, and she was going to let them know about it. She stood up for me. And needless to say, I was fairly embarrassed the next day in class when it all came out. But she showed passion and aggression that only a mother could show. And only a mother really knows how to share that. And today I want to share a story from the life of Jesus about a mother that never gave up. A mother that stood up for her child and said, "I am going to pursue this. I'm not going to give up." Have you ever needed God to do something on your behalf? Have you ever needed God to really intervene in a miraculous way in your life or in the life of someone that you've loved? And you've cried out to God. You need a miracle of healing or a miracle of provision. And you've cried out to the Lord and you've asked Him, because it's a miracle only He could provide. There is only one way that God would do this, and no one else. Maybe you're in a position right now where you need God to move on your behalf. What we're talking about today is faith. Faith, believing that God can do what we need, that God will provide, that God will move on our behalf. The truth is that, as we will see today, God is pleased by faith. God is pleased by our faith. He is moved by our faith. What are you trusting God for today? What are you asking the Lord for today and believing that only He could provide it? What are you bringing to God that He is pleased with today? So today we're going to look at this account from Matthew's Gospel, and it's Matthew, if you have your Bibles, Matthew 15, verse 21 to 28. Oops. Matthew 15, verse 21 to 28. Leaving that place, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon. A Canaanite woman from that vicinity came to Him crying out, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is demon-possessed and suffering terribly." Jesus did not answer a word. So His disciples came to Him and urged Him, "Send her away, for she keeps crying out after us." And He answered, "I was sent only for the lost sheep of Israel." The woman came and knelt before Him. "Lord, help me," she said. He replied, "It is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs." "Yes, it is, Lord," she said. "Even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus said to her, "Woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted. And her daughter was healed at that moment. We read about this story in Matthew 15, and it's an unusual insert in the Gospel of Matthew, in Matthew's account of the life of Jesus. It's kind of an unusual because it's sandwiched between it's sandwiched right in the middle of Jesus doing ministry in other areas. And in you'll notice that Jesus traveled to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And you'll see on the map there, it's the next slide, so they were doing ministry, Jesus and his disciples. He was teaching on the Sea of Galilee in Gennesaret, which is the left-hand, it's kind of the west side of the Sea of Galilee. And they traveled up to this region of Tyre and Sidon. It's a Gentile territory, and not many Jews there. And I kind of get, reading between the lines, that they had been doing a lot of ministry in the Sea of Galilee and Galilean area. And they were heading to the coast for maybe just a weekend break, just to get away from the crowd for a little while. And we have this little story that takes place in that, because they went into this region where not many people knew of Jesus. It was in a Gentile area. And they encounter this woman. She knows about Jesus, and she's desperate. She's desperate. And so the first thing that we look at, and I want to share with you today, three aspects of a faith that God rewards. It builds up to a faith that God rewards. And the first one is a faith that is tested. A faith that is tested. Here we have a woman who has a problem. She has a daughter that's demon-possessed, and she's struggling. She doesn't know what else to do. She's probably gone to all kinds of people and asked for medical advice, and she's had people pray for her. She doesn't know what else to do. She comes to Jesus. She's desperate. This was her last hope. This was the answer to her problem. She thought, well, I've heard a lot about Jesus. He must be able to help me in this situation. And she comes to Jesus, and it seems like he completely rejects her. He just ignores her. She comes to Jesus pleading for his help, and he doesn't answer a word. It's almost as if she wasn't there. He completely ignores her, and he rejects her. Almost a callous, cold approach by Jesus. Why did he do that? And the disciples were probably annoyed. Yeah, they'd come 20 miles to get to the coast. You know, they want to go and sit on the beach and relax a little bit. And here's this woman pestering them. She's nagging. You know, the Bible doesn't tell her, but the fact that they said, send her away, for she keeps crying out after us. She kept on. She was persistent. She did not give up. So Jesus ignores her. The disciples say, Jesus, tell her to go away. We can't take this anymore. She's being rejected. She's being ignored. But her faith is being tested. She's being tested. It seems as if Jesus is testing her. Jesus seems like he doesn't care, but he is testing to see. Sometimes we face situations where we think that God has forgotten us. That thing that you've been praying for years and years, and God doesn't give you the answer that you're asking for. Has God forgotten you? Has God ignored you? Does God exist? Is he really there? Does he hear your prayers? That's a faith that's being tested. God is testing to see, do you trust him? About 7 years ago, Debbie and I were undergoing missions training out in Kona, Hawaii, and we were suffering for Jesus in Hawaii. And we were coming to the last stages of raising funds to lead a team to South Africa. And some of you know the story. And we needed about $10,000, but the deadline was immediate. We needed the money within 2 days. And I had sent out over 300 emails to people. I had prayed. I had called people. I had begged the Lord. I had been praying and asking the Lord for this money. Nothing happened. Over 300 emails, not a single response, not even one response. And we really felt the Lord saying, I want you to go to Africa and lead this team. Well, we couldn't do it without the airline tickets. We needed that money. So we started praying, and there was nothing happening. And so in my heart, I started getting angry. I started getting frustrated and angry. And I remember this occasion, the Lord really started speaking to us and revealing to me, I was angry with the people that I'd emailed because they weren't responding. I knew who could afford to help us get there. I was angry at God because He wasn't answering my prayer. I was frustrated. I was angry. And I clearly remember sitting there and I asked the Lord, what's going on? Why am I not hearing the? Why are you not providing? What you promised to provide. Why aren't you providing? And the verse, Psalm 50, verse 10 came to mind. Psalm 50, 10, for those of you who don't know, it says, He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. And it came to me so clearly. And I almost shrugged my shoulders in prayers like, I know that. I know that. I need $10,000. I know you own all the cattle on 1,000 hills. And the Lord, I started this dialogue with the Holy Spirit. I started praying and hearing the Lord said to me, but you've asked me for one cow. I own the cattle on 1,000 hills and you've asked me for one cow. And I stepped back and I said, Lord, how about two cows? And it was, I could almost see the Lord smiling down at me and saying, you're my child. I own the cattle on 1,000 hills. Ask me for it all. Ask for it all. He owns everything. And I was asking for one cow. He said, ask for it all. And so I prayed that prayer. I said, Lord, give me the cattle on 1,000 hills. And the Lord said, yes, I will release the money to you, but there's something you need to do first. And Debbie and I started praying together and realized there was a piece that we had to play. There was a part that we had to play. Part of that was repentance. There were some people we had to forgive. We had to ask the Lord to forgive us. And as we repented, we felt the Lord releasing to us our prayer request. That night, that very same night, one of the leaders of our school got a phone call from a guy in Korea who doesn't speak English. And he said, the Lord told me to give $5,000 to a family going to Africa. Do you know anybody? And the school leader looks around and says, yes, I know the family that the Lord wants you to give that to. And the next day, I get a phone call from a businessman in Mississippi who I've met once. He wasn't even on our mailing list. And he called me up. He says, I want to give $5,000 to you for your ministry. So in 24 hours, praise the Lord for what he did. In 24 hours, $10,000 came in. And what I learned from that is that he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, but we're his children, and he provides for us. So that's the first step, I believe, in faith, is that a faith that is tested. God doesn't just test us for His pleasure. He tests us to mature our faith. So the next step is the maturing of our faith, a faith that matures. Jesus finally responds to this woman who keeps crying out. In verse 24, he says, I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel. It seems like Jesus is finally rejecting her. It seems like Jesus is saying, I've ignored you. My disciples have probably rebuked you, and I'm going to tell you, I didn't come for you. I came only for the lost sheep of Israel. It seems like this is finally the door slamming shut on her request. But she doesn't keep quiet. She grows in courage. She gets more impassioned in her pleas and says, she kneels before him. She kneels before Jesus, and I can imagine now when she first calls out to Jesus, if you look in verse 22, she says, Lord, Son of David. she uses Jesus' Jewish title, his Jewish title, but she's a Gentile. Now she comes to Jesus and she kneels before him and says, Lord. She doesn't say Son of David, Lord. She acknowledges that Jesus is God. And she's saying, you're the one. She kneels before him. She's worshiping him. She's worshiping Jesus. And she says, Lord, help me. Those simple words, Lord, help me. Have you ever got to a stage where that's all you could muster up? That's all you could cry out? Lord, help me. And that's what she does. And then Jesus responds to her, and it seems like he's insulting her. He says, it's not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs. And it seems like this is just getting worse. And Jesus is using the term, the Greek term for the dogs here is actually a domesticated pet. It's a little dog that would be around the table. And Jesus said, it's not right. And the woman quickly responds. She gets even bolder. She says, no. She's got nothing to lose now. She's got Jesus' attention. There's a dialogue taking place. He's not ignoring her anymore. She's jumping right in. She's getting bold. And she says, yes, Lord, but even the dogs feed on the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Her faith is small, but it's maturing. And I've often wondered about this metaphor. Why did Jesus use the dogs and the crumbs and the table? There's got to be something to that. Jesus didn't just say things because they'd be convenient. There was something to that. And Eric and I were speaking about this week, and he reminded me that how small is a crumb? How small is a crumb that falls to the floor? That's how much faith is needed. Just a little crumb. Just the faith, Jesus said in Matthew 17:20, faith the size of a mustard seed, you could say to this mountain, be moved. That's the same size of faith. It's this little crumb that if you were sitting over there, you wouldn't see it on the table. That's the kind of faith. It's not the size or the quantity of faith, it's the maturity of the faith. It's the maturity of the faith. That's knowing that God will answer my prayer. That's the mature faith. Faith honors God, and God honors faith. There was a story in the life of Robert and Mary Moffat in the 19th century. They were missionaries in a country in southern Africa called Bechuanaland, which is now Botswana. And they were missionaries there. For 10 years, they faithfully served the Lord. 10 years, they preached the gospel. They lived in the culture, and they saw no fruit. Not one single convert after 10 years. And the Moffats continued to serve the Lord. And finally, the mission organization that sent them said, this is not working. You better come home. They got a message from England saying, it's time for you to come home. This is not working. Maybe you need to go somewhere else. Maybe this isn't the right country for you to be in. And when they got that message, it really grieved them because they knew we need to be here. They had faith that God was going to do something. This wasn't just going to be a failure, but God sent them for a purpose. And so a friend of theirs sent them a letter one day and said, what would you like? We're going to send you a gift. What would you like? Can we send you anything? And they said, and this was Mary Moffat, she wrote in response, she said, send us a communion set. Send us a communion set because we believe we're going to need it someday. After 10 years of no converts, that was the only request she had. We're going to need a communion set. And so this friend in England sent her the communion set. And in that space of time, the Holy Spirit moved in their ministry, and 6 people came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. And a small church was formed in Botswana. And the mail ship that came was delayed. And the day before they had their first service and communion, this communion set arrived. The very day before they were scheduled to have their first service, this communion set arrived. And they were able to celebrate the Lord's Supper together as a newly formed body. It was a wonderful celebration. And today, where we stand, that country of Botswana has about 2 million people, a little over 2 million people. 66% of them are Christians because of their faithfulness. God is good. This brings us to our final step in the process. So we have faith that is tested, faith that is matured, and then you have faith that is rewarded. After faith is tested, it is matured, it grows, and then it is rewarded by God. As Jesus hears her faith and humility, he responds immediately. When he hears her faith, he responds immediately, and he says, "Woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted." As simple as that. Heaven is moved by faith, and her request is granted. And her daughter's healed at that very moment. It's interesting to note that Matthew records two people, two occasions where Jesus says, "Your faith is great," or is astounded by someone's faith. Two occasions. The other one is the Roman centurion in Matthew 8. Both of them are Gentiles. Both of them are far from the Jewish people. There's a distance between them and the Jews. And both of those occasions, Jesus heals from a distance. It's interesting. The centurion's the healing took place at a distance, and this woman, her daughter, was healed at a distance. But why did Jesus come? Jesus came to die on the cross to bring all nations, all peoples, into the fold. So Jesus healed at a distance, but Jesus came to bring everyone to the cross, and everyone can be saved. Jesus came to reconcile all nations to himself. It's a simple matter of faith. Jesus still rewards faith today. He still rewards faith today. God is looking for people who walk by faith, not by sight. He rewards a lifestyle of faith. God rewards a lifestyle of faith. You know, God doesn't put us through trials and testings and difficult times for no particular reason. We were talking about this earlier. You know, we only have faith because God gives it to us in the first place. We don't muster up faith in our own. We can pray for it. God gives it to us. But God allows situations in our life so that faith may develop, so we trust God more, we learn from God, we mature in our faith, so that ultimately we can trust Him for everything and anything. Individually and corporately here as a church, we are being tested. We're being asked to step out in faith. James writes in James 1, verse 2 to 4, "Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect results, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." Do you see the progression there? There's a progression in that verse. It starts out with the testing, the trials, the challenges. That produces endurance. You've got to go through some difficulty to develop endurance. Then it perfects us. Faith that is tested, matures, is perfected. And then we lack nothing. And it's not just lacking anything that we want. It's lacking no good thing. That's what it means. We lack no good thing from God. Corporately, our faith is being tested. Corporately, as a church, as a body of believers, our faith is being tested. And the Lord is looking to see how we respond. The Lord's asking to see how we respond. In a few weeks, we're gonna vote. And many of you know we're voting on the reallocation of the funds to support Brandon and Brooke in the church plant. And that's a step in faith. We all know that, you know, we're running at a deficit budget. We know that, you know, the tithes and the offerings haven't been as much as they have been in years gone by. But is God asking us to do this in faith? Is God asking us to respond? It seems illogical. It seems counterintuitive in our own mind, in our own sense. But if we move in faith, I believe that God's going to respond in blessing. And He always does. If we respond in fear, or do we respond in faith? Psalm 37:25 is just a tremendous promise. I was young and now I am old, yet I have never seen the righteous forsaken or their children begging for bread. That's a promise from God's word. Individually, what are you bringing for the Lord today? What are you bringing before the Lord today? What is that desperate request that you have, that you've been asking and asking and asking and saying, Lord, You know I need this. What is that heart cry of yours? Don't give up. Don't give up. Be persistent. Press in. Ask the Lord. So often we say, well, Lord, here's my need. Here's my request. And then we walk away. And we say, well, I've done my part. I prayed about it. This woman was persistent. She went after the disciples. She went after Jesus. And she nagged them. She pestered them. And I'm saying what we need to do is really pray, believing that God is going to answer our prayers, but come to Him daily, come to Him hourly. I can show you prayer journals where for years I prayed the same prayer, word for word, and then the Lord answers it. But it takes years, sometimes because the faith needs to mature. Maturing process doesn't take place overnight. The Lord will provide. The Lord always provides. You know that He is more interested in eternity than in tomorrow. God is a God of eternity. And He is focused on preparing us, His bride, the church, for eternity. That's why we go through some of the challenges we go through. It's to develop faith. It's to develop a relationship with God. You know that through the situation that Debbie and I went through that I mentioned earlier, I learned so much about my Heavenly Father. I learned so much about His character, His nature, who He is, how much He loves me. And I thank God that I went through that difficult situation because I know it was His maturing process. Faith pleases God. Hebrews 11 verse 6 says, "And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him." Earnestly seek Him. I could have preached this exact same sermon on that verse, Hebrews 11 verse 6, because it's all in there. In order to have faith, we must believe that God exists. We have to believe that He's not just, oh, you know, the person that I pray to occasionally, or the one that when we come to church on Sunday, we sing about. No, He is the creator, the sustainer of the entire universe. He gives us breath to breathe every day. He pumps the blood through our veins. He is God. If we struggle with faith, it's because we struggle to believe that God exists. If we struggle with faith, it's because we struggle to believe that God exists. And you may feel, well, that's pretty harsh. How can you say that? Because if we look at our problems and we truly see how great God is, we can see that He can provide, He can take care of it all. He's our Heavenly Father. He is the Creator, but He's also our Father, and He is good. The final part of the verse of Hebrews 11:6 is that promise of God. He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. Trust in God. He will never let you down. He will never let you down. It may take 5 years. It may take 10 years. It may take 20 years. And you may not see the answer to the prayers in your lifetime or the person's lifetime that you've been praying for. But God is faithful. He is good. And we trust Him. So how is your faith being challenged today? How is God testing your faith today? What is He wanting to mature in your faith today? Don't run from the challenge. You know, so often we run from the challenge. We run from the discomfort. We run from the pain and we think, well, this is uncomfortable. I need to figure out a way out of this quickly. Persevere. Daily come before the throne of grace, calling out to God and saying, You're the only one I can turn to in this time. We ask God to move on our behalf. Allow God to develop and mature your faith. Allow Him to do that because that's for your good and for His glory. Growing in faith is a process. Some people have said to, and Debbie is someone that has tremendous faith. And people say, oh, I wish I had faith like you. Well, it's a process. Again, we can only love God because of the love He gives us for Him. We only have faith because of the faith God gives us. But growing in faith is a process. It's many little steps of seeing God provide, little steps of seeing prayers answered. That is faith. It grows, it matures, it's tested. It doesn't come easily, though. Developing a lifestyle of faith comes at a cost. It's not always easy. And the struggles that God allows in your life to develop that faith and strengthen that faith sometimes are very hard. Those challenges are hard. But again, ultimately, God views everything in the light of eternity. And we can look to His glory at what He is doing. And one day we'll praise Him because we'll know why He did all that. He is good. So as we close and sing together, what is God challenging you? What is that area in your life? What is that one thing you're crying out to the Lord for, saying, Lord, I need a miracle? And we want to pray for you today. If there's something that you want to come and just pray up front, you're welcome to. As we close the service, if you would like prayer, we'd have myself and some others will come up and pray for you. But don't run from it. Allow God to speak to you today. And let's be people who walk by faith, not by sight. So let's close in prayer. Lord, we do thank You again for Your word. Lord, You are good to us. We trust You, Heavenly Father. We trust You for provision. We trust You for health. We trust You for our family. We trust You, Lord, for those that in our family we've been praying for years that do not know You as their Lord and Savior. And there are times, Lord, when we cry out, Lord, help me. We ask You to move in power now, Lord. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.